everybody, and welcome to The Bits. This is Quinn.
Hello, this is Paulina.
This is Claire.
All right, ladies. I'm just kicking this off because it's something that I'm incredibly excited about. As we know, I would abolish tennis and keep golf forever if I had to eliminate a professional sport. Yeah, golf's living forever. But this past weekend, it was the Masters, which is basically the most prestigious, the most wow factor major, and it is the first major of the year. It's always in April.
Known for its green jackets, right?
And yes, and so one of the iconic things about it is that when you win the Masters, you get a green jacket. And so, and you'll always get to go back to the Masters. Once a champion, you always qualify to go back there. And so it's on my bucket list. I, at some point in my life, definitely need to go to the Masters. But anyways, this past weekend was extra special because there was a guy, Rory McIlroy. For those who don't know, he's this wonderful Northern Irish golfer, you know, really came out of the gates hot in his career, won a few majors pretty quickly. And a lot of people thought he was going to get the career Grand Slam pretty quickly, which is you win all four of the majors. So that's the Masters, the US Open, the Open, which used to be the British Open, and then the PGA Championship. So you win all four within your career or within the year. Nobody has done it within the year in the modern era. Anyway, so that was in 2014 that he won his third major. And so it has taken 11 years. He just had to win the Masters to get the career Grand Slam. And he finally did it this past weekend after 11 tries. Cool. And this is also so crazy. It is such a huge accomplishment because only five other men have done it within golf, dating back to the 1930s.
Has done what? What do you mean?
Has gotten a career Grand Slam.
Career Grand Slam.
Four majors at some point in your career. Wow. I mean, I say that, and Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods both won a career Grand Slam three times.
Wow.
But those two were absolute icons of the game, of course, like the elite of the elite. But yeah, so Rory this past weekend, and it was a roller coaster to get there. Basically, the final round was like an absolute, he was up by two going into the final round. He was over two over on the first hole, so double bogeyed. To move into a tie, then proceeded to move back 4 points up, blew that lead, ended up in a tie, then ended up going up by one, and then on 18, missed a putt, so then it went to a playoff, and he won on the first playoff hole. So it was the absolute ultimate roller coaster, and it was so fun to watch, and it was only really, really fun to watch because Rory did end up winning in the end. Mm-hmm. I think that Rory fans, because there's been so many people who have been cheering for him to do this for so long.
It seemed like he had a lot of people rooting for him. And like, I don't watch golf, but I know who Rory is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, another major accomplishment in sports that we got to witness. Mm-hmm. And I was very excited. And it was a hell of a day of golf. Hell of a day.
That is what I hear. You said a lot of words that I don't totally understand. But somebody on Instagram was like, I don't really understand like why this is such a big moment for this Rory guy. Can somebody explain it in terms that I will understand? And then they responded and they're like, okay, so multiple people have told me it is the equivalent to winning an EGOT, which is something that registers with me. So then I was like, okay, yeah, this is a big deal. I get it now. So yeah, go Rory. That's great.
And go get him, buddy.
EGOT is an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Yeah.
Nice.
Also a career Grand Slam, if you will, in the entertainment business.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, so hopefully, I don't think he was favored to win either. So very cool that he won in such a roller coaster, nail biter fashion.
Yeah. And only five other players in like all time. And like I said, this is dating back to the 1930s. Wow. Like it's an incredibly difficult feat to do. And even if Rory had never done it in his career, he still would have gone down as one of the greats. Mm-hmm. You know, that was his fifth major win. So yeah, it was very cool. And everybody is just so relieved. honestly, because the nice guy of golf finally did it and he was crying and he had other people crying. He had people at home watching crying. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I am very happy for him. I do. I question when people say like it was a roller coaster of a day when you're talking about watching golf. But like, again, I'm not trying to be a hater. Honestly, it just doesn't seem it's not a hockey game.
Oh,
like,
listen.
Right. But I also don't understand it. And I think maybe if you understand it, a very slow paced game might seem like a roller coaster.
Well, and but genuinely, Paulina, like there was four holes in a row where the lead changed and that and
okay,
like so
okay.
In fairness, golf is not typically like that.
Okay.
And then he built up a lead and then still blew that lead, so it would be like the Oilers going up like 3-1, 3-0, then it's like 3-3, then he goes up, then they go up like 7-3, and then now it's 7-7,
right?
And then
okay.
The other team goes ahead 8-7. So like it was like for
yeah
golf, it was
and especially
hectic.
Because there is a clear like people's favorite in the mix, I can see it being that much more tense.
Yes.
So we talked about the Green Jackets. One other thing before we move on that I wanted to talk about is, so the Masters happens at Augusta National, Augusta Golf Course.
Augusta National, yeah.
Yeah, in Georgia. And they have the best sounding birds in the background. Their golf course sounds beautiful. So there's been this long time debate on whether or not the bird sounds are real. And apparently the answer to that question depends on who you ask. So we don't know if like CBS is injecting additional bird sounds. Anyway, what I heard this year that's interesting is there's an actual YouTube channel now for the bird sounds at Augusta National. So maybe we could play a little bit of that.
Soothing. Very soothing.
That might take over.
The sounds of summer.
That might take over my thunderstorm sounds for bedtime.
Oh.
Ooh.
There you go.
I don't know.
Not a bad call.
Yeah, right?
Soothing. Some people have a fear of birds. It wouldn't hit for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. Those don't sound like scary birds.
No.
Hey, so thanks for breaking that down, Quinn. I'm glad you got to witness it. I was driving in the car for several hours, so
sorry.
I missed it.
Yeah, I watched the entire thing front to back.
I'm glad you got to see it. Another thing we wanted to, with the NHL playoffs kicking off on April 19th, we wanted to kind of do a bit of a rundown of how the playoffs come to be. How does it actually work? So if you're not totally sure how it all works, you're not alone, because it's not just the top eight. And some matchups can feel a little random. So we wanted to do a bit of a breakdown so that you can know what's going on when they start. So maybe I'll start with the basics and you girls can jump in. But it is often referred to as a round of 16. So there are 16 teams that make it. 8 from the East, 8 from the West. And in each of those conferences, so East and West, there are 2 divisions. On the East, it's the Atlantic and Metro. And in the West, Pacific and Central. The Edmonton Oilers are in the Pacific. Top 3 teams in each division automatically make it in. So that's 6 per conference. And then here's where it gets a little squirrely, and which is what makes this time of year pretty fun for watching hockey, is the final 2 spots go to wild card teams. So the next best records in the conference, even if they're from the same division. So it gets a little crazy.
Yeah. So the point is that, yeah, it's not about just, you know, getting 4 teams out of the Pacific, 4 teams out of the Central, right? Anybody can get into those final 2 spots. You just have to have the most points of the remaining teams that are not in the top 3 in each of their divisions.
And really, like, such a smart way to do it, because it makes those weeks leading up to the playoffs actually pretty interesting for the teams who still have a chance. Otherwise, it would be like a bit of a write-off.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's teams that we don't like that, like, you know, maybe Vancouver would have got in. Ugh. Good to see them eliminated. I think I made that preseason prediction that they wouldn't be even close.
You did. You did. Yeah.
I did.
I was
I
happy to
said that
see that
that
as
was
well.
a goofy year last year. I wanted to add, so you said it makes it fun. There are a lot of people who don't like it.
Okay, how
Because, for
come?
example, we get into the situation we're in now where the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings are going to play for the fourth consecutive year.
Well, that comes down to that who plays who, not so much the wild card spot, right? Because essentially,
Yes.
the first team in each division will play the wild card team. So they get
Yes.
the advantage there. But it's the second and third teams in each division that will always play each other. So that's where you get the rivalries. But that's also, like Quinn pointed out, this is our fourth time in a row playing the LA Kings because we have continually slotted in at that 2-3 or 3-2 position. And yeah, I think that part of it is getting a little bit lame. However, I mean, I feel like the Oilers need to own that a little bit. There have been opportunities to get out of that 2-3 position and haven't quite put that away. But yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think it makes for I mean, we talked about it last episode, so if you didn't hear that, go back and give it a listen. But yeah, I could see why people would get a little annoyed with that.
Yeah, that would be the only complaint. And then, for example, like this year, Dallas and Colorado will play in the first
Again.
round. And that's like two of the best teams in the entire league that are going to go head to head in the first round, right? So that's what you run into when you don't just do it by conference, like the top eight in each conference. There's no good way to do it, though, right?
Yeah.
Because then there can be an imbalance of conference and that kind of thing. So you just got to be one of the best in your conference and then you're guaranteed to get in,
Yeah,
period.
that's a really good point. Another one that has come up, I don't know if this has, you've heard this when you're talking playoffs, but that home ice advantage is kind of hard to understand. Like what's the deciding factor on that, and then what does it really mean? So, really quickly, the team with the better regular season record, so i.e. more points, gets that home ice advantage. So it's a 2-2-1-1-1, 2-2-1-1-1-1 format, which means the first two games are at the home ice advantage, then two away, and then if it goes long, 5 and 7 are also at home. So in the long run, if it ends up being a longer series going to 7 games, potentially a huge advantage. There's a lot of Oilers fans that have been saying they don't really think it's a factor. Curious what you think in terms of the Edmonton Oilers playing and having that home ice advantage. It's not looking like they're going to get it. They still might, but curious on what you think as far as it being a factor.
I think it's a factor. I think playing in our arena is an advantage. Not that it always goes our way, but I still think it's an advantage.
They're pretty good at home and on the road.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that if they do finish third, at time of recording, they are. It's not likely you're going to have home ice the rest of the way. So sometimes, even if you finish two, if the number one seed in your division gets eliminated, then you move into that kind of home ice because you're likely going to be the higher seed than
Right.
the team you're playing, right? Because it would be the team that well likely would be the team that eliminated the team above you, right?
Makes
So
sense.
the three is just tough because it's not likely the rest of the way.
Right.
I think where it really would make a difference is in if it gets to a game 7, having a game 7 in front of your own crowd. That, I mean, game 1, I think
100%.
everybody's pumped, but game 7 in front of your home crowd is huge, I would think.
Definitely.
Oh,
Definitely.
yes. Yeah, very much so. We saw it in the Stanley Cup final last year. So, yeah.
And I mean, do you think things could have, I mean, do you think things could have gone differently if we had played at home for game 7? I think they could have. I
I think they
think,
could have.
I don't know. I just feel like losing at home for game 7 when you're favored to win at that point, seems unlikely. So, I mean, it is what it is. You got to be able to win away, but
Yeah.
to be the best. But
Yep.
I mean, I think it could have gone differently.
Mm-hmm.
So One other thing I wanted to touch on is that there's no reseeding. So unlike some other professional sports, after that first round, it's a fixed bracket. So once those matchups are locked, they stay that way. So even if a wild card knocks out that top seed, they don't get reshuffled, which I know we know that, but maybe not everybody else does.
Yeah, they just stay with the same number of points that they had in the regular season. So it
Yeah.
will always go based on the number of points you have.
And so we've got round one, which is the division matchups, aka wild card chaos. And then round two is when the divisions face off. Then there's the conference finals. So one team from each division fights for the conference title. And then in the Stanley Cup final, East versus West showdown for the cup. So we should almost like show a bracket, a sample bracket, so that people can kind of see it's like left versus right almost.
Cool.
Super easy to understand.
Yes. 60. All you got to know is that you got to win 16 games to win the Stanley Cup.
That's a
Four
good
wins in
team
each round.
summary. Yeah.
Yep. Just got to win 16 games. If you don't, you're done.
If you're not as into the nitty-gritty, it's just like 16 games. Just remember. Yeah.
Every Oilers win, just count it.
But that is a good high-level breakdown of how it works.
Seems easy.
Yeah, I mean,
There are more
just watch
complicated
the
playoffs.
internet. You know what? You don't really actually have to understand that. Somebody will say, "Oh, the Oilers will play," and you'll be like, "Great."
Great. Awesome. Got it. Done.
Well, yeah, but and speaking of the Oilers, just very quickly, Matthias Ekholm going to miss the first round. So if the Oilers don't beat the LA Kings, we've seen the loss of Matthias Ekholm this season. So
Not
that's a
great.
tough update for the Oilers there.
Really tough update for the Oilers. So,
Ooh.
if we were feeling not so optimistic on the last couple episodes, we're still there
Yeah, no,
based on
it's
this
just been
recent news.
an absolute roller coaster because, they're playing fairly well right now.
Yeah.
But Matthias Ekholm is the absolute stabilizer on the blue line for those
He's
who don't
critical.
understand. He is a critical piece to the back end. And he pl came back after missing seven games, played two shifts, and will now be done until TBD.
We don't know what the injury is, correct?
I don't think so.
I don't think they've given an inch on that.
So maybe we should pick other teams.
I think it's a hernia. I think I mentioned that
Ah.
already because he was said to be sick. He lost his voice. He was talking about how, he couldn't believe how much his voice was a part of his game when he, because he had lost his voice from
Oh.
this cold or cough that he had. And so that's when I was like, I wonder. Then he ended up coming back and leaving again. And I wondered if he had maybe gotten a hernia or something from coughing
Oof.
so hard,
You know what?
which
If
are
he
like,
had.
those are really tricky, right? Because like you move your core body the wrong way and it triggers it all over again. Yeah.
That's rough. I mean, if he had the death flu that was going around Edmonton for the past
Yeah.
like couple
Can
months,
assure you he had a hernia. Yeah, from coughing.
yeah, for the coughing is so extreme. Like I know more than one person who is coughing still a month after their flu kind of wrapped up. Like Quinn, you had it. I had it.
Oh,
The cough was
traumatized. Yeah.
extreme. Oh man, a
You heard
hernia.
it here first.
Yeah. Can
We
we
don't
ask
know, but
Justin Archer? Can you
oh,
send
yeah, he's his
Matthias a hernia?
neighbor.
Yeah,
Friend,
we
I don't
would
know if
like
they're
to
neighbors
tap
anymore, but
in Ekholm's neighbor, friend of the pod. Yeah. Can you give us what's the scoop?
Hey man, has he been walking around the yard or
Yeah, is he clutching
what?
his stomach area at all?
Anything like what's the mannerisms?
Fetal position, holding on to his side.
Do you find that he's
Oh.
able to pick up the kids still? Get him to see if
Yeah.
he can pick up the kids.
I mean, this is a Viking we're talking about, right? So
True.
it's
Yeah.
got to be something like a hernia. Like he probably was playing through that as much as he could.
That has,
Oh,
yeah, like it's
yeah.
a hernia that has turned into a full body infection and he
Yeah.
may lose his toe if
Yeah,
he plays
something like
again
that. Yeah.
because that's the only thing that's keeping Matthias
That's the only thing
Ekholm
that can keep that man down.
out.
All
Okay,
right.
so looking at playoffs, Any matchups? I mean, it's all still in the air. There's well,
Tentative.
some of it is still in the air right now at time of recording. But yeah, curious if there are any matchups that you're ultra excited for or, highly anticipating.
I
I mean,
mean, Dallas,
Dallas.
Colorado.
Yeah. Dallas and
It's so
Colorado.
unfair that that is happening in the first round, but what a hell of a way to kick off the playoffs.
Yeah,
These are like
that's.
two insanely evenly matched teams. I mean, Mikko Rantanen, like that whole storyline. I'm looking forward to that one.
I mean, that's like a third round matchup, right? That we get
That's at
in the
least a division
first,
final.
well, last year it
That we
was
get in the
the
first
second
round.
round, and obviously stars prevailed. They took it in six, but yeah, you're right.
Colorado's better this year,
For
yeah.
a first round, that's tough.
Colorado is definitely better this year.
That is one where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I would probably. Who would you place your bets on? I mean, Dallas has won
Dallas.
two of
Yeah.
three. They're, yeah, I mean, Dallas.
I would
Yeah.
probably put my money on Dallas too. And I don't
Oh.
hate Dallas, but I also, I really like that Nathan MacKinnon guy. So
Oh.
I wouldn't be
Yeah. I
mad
wouldn't be.
at whoever comes out of that, the winner, but like,
Yeah.
damn, that's
I'm
gonna
not cheering
be
for
a hell of a
Dallas.
battle.
I'd be cheering for Colorado, to be honest. But I do think that Dallas is where I'd put my money.
If I was putting my money on it today, I would put my money on Dallas too.
Yeah. I'm excited to see who the Jets are going to play. So they've clinched their first President's Trophy, which is pretty incredible.
That's top team in the league in the regular season.
Do we know for sure that it'll be the Blues? Yeah, because
No.
they've secured the final wild. Oh no, because Calgary's going for
It's
it.
not for sure. It's
Yeah.
At time of
Potential.
recording, it could be either the Blues or Calgary.
Either
Yeah.
way, they're playing a team that I don't particularly like. Blues
Or Minnesota. That's
are an
what's
enemy.
crazy right
Oh
now.
yeah, that's
Because the
fair. That's
Blues could
true.
pass Minnesota.
That's true.
Like, it's
Oh.
crazy right now.
I'm not gonna lie that since Four Nations, I'm happy Stuart Skinner is back, but Binnington has been on a tear. So that team is looking very good. Although the other night when Edmonton beat them, I don't know. It felt good. Felt really good. So
Yeah.
maybe we want the Blues to be in the mix.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't think they're getting past the Jets.
I don't like the Jets on the playoffs. That's the funny thing for me
Nobody
is that
does.
they have like they haven't managed to perform overly well in the past. So I'm intrigued to see how the Jets do in the playoffs.
And then, of course, Paulina, your favorite, the Florida Panthers, up against
Not just
their.
me. We all hate
We
Florida. No,
all
we
hate
do. You
Florida.
do have a
Tampa
very
might beat
special.
them.
You have a very special hate for Tkachuk, though. That is, I would say, I very much dislike him, but I have yet to meet someone who dislikes him as much as you do.
Listen, when I don't like someone, like I want them to burn. It's
Yeah.
just my personality. Yeah.
Well, it's probably hot enough at this time of year in Florida, so.
So Quinn, you're saying that Tampa could is so it's we're saying
Oh.
Tampa Bay Lightning versus Florida Panthers.
Listen, that's my heart talking. That's what my heart wants.
It'll be
I mean,
competitive.
I said it at the trade deadline. I think that the Panthers have a real good chance to repeat.
100%.
We all know Toronto is just like Toronto's in the Atlantic with them. They're
Yeah.
first in the division. We all know Toronto's not getting out of the first or second round. So
Toronto will
there's no
blow it,
concerns
as Toronto
there.
does. Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
not like we're going to see the Maple Leafs go far. So it's either Florida or Tampa that takes them out if
So
it's
I
not
mean,
Ottawa.
we're looking forward to watching a first round series with Toronto because they will likely lose and nobody likes Toronto, so that's a fun series to watch.
Well, and extra fun because it would likely be Toronto versus Ottawa.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
And so that's pretty like if you're a fan of either of those teams, that's essentially like an Oilers Flames scenario.
Yeah, they are 100% playing Ottawa. So we already know that
Nice.
matchup. Yeah.
Yeah.
So giddy up. Giddy
Giddy
up. And I
up.
got good things to say about Ottawa.
It's gonna
Do ya?
be
Oh yeah.
Big times in Ontario.
Do we
Good.
want to jump right into that part of today's episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we've done lots of talking about the Oilers and this first round. So we thought we might switch it up a little and introduce a little segment called Bandwagon Breakdown. And each of us gets 60 seconds or less to make an elevator pitch as to why you should cheer for their particular team of choice. Who wants to go first? And after, we will vote between the three of us on who had the best pitch.
I'll go first. I've never done one. So this is feeling unfair for two women who worked at an agency and probably did pitches all the time.
Oh, I was like, what are you? You've never done what? I've never done a bandwagon breakdown either,
Definitely
Quinn.
my first bandwagon breakdown pitch.
What's the
There's no
what's the
template, so you're
Yeah, I was
basically
going to say,
setting
what is a template? What's a good template here?
you're
Okay.
setting it right now
Yeah,
with
the
your
only
pitch.
thing we know for our listeners, the only thing we know is what each of us are doing in terms of what team we have picked so that we didn't pick the same team. But that's all
But
we
we know
know.
nothing else. All
And
right.
I'm gonna start your timer when you start talking.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you very much for having me. My team for the bandwagon breakdown is the Ottawa Senators. Of course, we're going to go with a Canadian team. Hard not to love the Ottawa Senators. When you talk about Canadian teams that don't bother you, like Vancouver, Toronto, and Calgary do, Ottawa Senators are in there as among the teams that do not bother you. They wouldn't hurt a fly, but you know who they're going to hurt is probably the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. So, number one, we're getting a team who is going up against one of the most hated teams, the most hated teams in Canada. Number two, they haven't been in the playoffs in 8 years. They're coming in with a bright, fresh outlook, excited to go. Haven't been in the playoffs since 2018. Number three. And now this could be a counter or a bad point, but we do know that there is a Tkachuk on that team. I'm not going to try to hide that fact. Brady is not Matthew. Brady fights when asked to fight, and we've never
And
really had anything against Brady. It's Matthew we hate.
very good.
Claire was trying so hard not to interrupt.
No, I was trying to say time because
Yeah.
the timer went off.
Oh, is it 1 minute?
It's
Yes,
one
60
minute.
seconds.
And
Oh, shit.
honestly,
Very
very well done.
good. Very good.
Thank you.
Yep, very good. All right. All
Okay.
right. Claire, you go. Okay.
I'll start the timer.
Yeah, please. I don't want to look at it. All right. So if you're still figuring out who to root for in the playoffs and you like chaos, storylines, and good vibes, hop on the Habs train. Montreal is right on the edge of clinching their first playoff spot since 2021, and literally no one had them in that conversation when the season started. This was supposed to be a rebuild year, but instead, they're out here grinding wins, getting hot at the right time and annoying every expert who counted them out back in October. They're young, fun, and playing with absolutely nothing to lose. Nick Suzuki has quietly been one of the most dependable centers in the league, just shy of a point per game, steady as hell. He's quickly becoming one of the best captains in hockey, not to supersede Connor McDavid. Cole Caulfield is living up to the hype. He's got 37 goals. We've got Yaroslavskoski. He's finally settling in. He went in with the overall first time pick. The countdown is killing me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I should have practiced that. It was way too long.
Oh, did you
He
stop? Okay. No, time's up.
would
Oh,
tie.
okay.
Fucker. I have so much left to read. I should have practiced that.
I also didn't time myself, but so I'm probably gonna be in the same boat.
Oh, you guys
Okay,
aren't
so
ad-libbing?
can I say one
Oh.
last thing? So give
Are
me
you
five.
supposed to write a pitch?
I mean, I wrote it down. Yeah.
I wrote it down too.
I get nervous.
Wow.
I
Okay,
need
here
to
I
remember
was just
them.
flying by the seat of my pants. Okay.
Even more impressive, rub it in.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay,
rub it
sorry.
in.
No. I'm just learning. Okay.
Sorry, Quinn or Claire, say your one more thing.
I was just gonna close it. So yeah, if you're in it for the vibes, the drama, the surprises, and fan base with tarps off, Jason Kelsey style Super Bowl. The Habs are your team.
All right.
Okay, when you're ready, Polly.
Okay, so I'm not saying they will, but if the Oilers crash out in the playoffs, don't panic. Don't drive your car into the North Saskatchewan. There are options. And I've got a really good option for you. Not only a very promising playoff run contender, but also Canadian and a prairie neighbor. I'm talking about the Winnipeg Jets. Here's the thing. Winnipeg is not unlike Edmonton. For one, it has a passionate fan base. Winnipeg shuts down for the playoffs. We saw it last year. That is the primary focus of the city. We've all seen scenes from the famous whiteout at Jets games. It's electric. It's a vibe. As a hockey town, we can recognize another hockey town, and we respect that. Another reason, they have the same prairie resilience that comes with being raised in Arctic temperatures. Mm. We spoke about this on a recent episode. Unless you've gone out in minus 40 to go watch a game, you don't get it. Trust me, Winnipeg gets it. It's not just a game in places like this. Sideways ice winds, they don't care.
Oh, shit. Time.
Damn it. Okay.
Oh! Well, you did pretty good.
You did great.
Get to a whole thing.
I didn't even get to talk. I didn't even get to speak to like how Connor McDavid, that's his favorite place to play is in Montreal, let alone so many other players.
I didn't think I even had a minute worth of content. So let me now, we won't count it as part of the pitch, but like, here's the thing, all of those undeniable similarities aside, they are a promising potential cup winner. I know Quinn has said that they don't perform well, but like, listen, they've been consistently at the top of the NHL standings. They currently lead the league in points and game wins. They won the President's Trophy, as we mentioned. So if we're wanting to lessen our chances of heartbreak, this is a bandwagon team to get on board with.
Couple notes. When you said the Winnipeg shuts down in the playoffs, I definitely thought that was a joke and a throw to the fact that they choke during the playoffs. I was like, yep.
No, okay, fair. Double entendre, unintentional. I meant very the city funny. Shuts down, but yes, fair enough. They do choke in the playoffs historically, but they've got a really good team this year.
They do. Yep.
The Habs, it's pretty interesting. We all picked Canadian teams, which is great.
Yes, of course.
Even not even on purpose. I mean, obviously we wanted that, but it wasn't designed that way. Mm-mm. Montreal's going to be fun to watch. I'm super stoked that they're in the playoffs.
Montreal is also a really fun arena and a historic arena. So I do like them for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. They get into it.
I'm ready
all
to
those
vote.
Canadian cities.
Paulina, who do you vote for? No, voting for yourself.
Oh, no, just kidding.
She's like, then I don't want to play.
Then I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Removing myself. Only I thought both pitches were really good. I'm going to go with this one because I genuinely had no interest in this team prior. And this person made some points that made me think differently. And that's Quinn and the Ottawa Senators. Whereas with Montreal, I'm like, yeah, I could get on board with Montreal before I even heard the pitches, you know? And I liked, you know, I liked the points that Claire made in her pitch too, but I wasn't like, I didn't get my mind changed because I was already kind of half in anyway. But with Ottawa, I was like, why would we choose Ottawa? And then I was like, okay, those are some fair points.
I also choose Quinn. To piggyback off of what Paulina already pointed out, I would add that you ad-libbed it. Like, you didn't write something out. And both Paulina and I did, and we both didn't get through what we had written
pitch.
Down. So.
Yeah.
I am super impressed on that and that alone, if nothing else. So Quinn wins this round of, what do we call
and
it?
Avoids having break. To vote.
That's your home ice advantage. That
yeah,
is
there you go.
Equivalent. You don't have to vote.
Top in the division.
Yeah. Hey, Winnipeg Jets, home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. So another reason...
They're going to be
they're looking good.
The number one seed. Yeah, they are. They have home ice advantage through to the Stanley Cup final should they find themselves there. Should
Listen,
Connor
ladies,
Hellebuyck take them there?
We are on the cusp of our favorite time of year in the city. Things are about to get fun and hopefully
we're
stay
only days
fun
away
for a while.
And
so
stick with the bits to keep up on what's going on.
Stick with
for
the
those...
bits.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated. Get your rest. Get your sleep. We know what happens. There's going to be some late nights in the middle of the week. Do what you got to do to prepare.
Yeah. And you know what I got to say? For the first time ever, I can say, don't shoot your wad. Wait, I don't. How do we
blow your wad?
Don't blow your wad round one. For the first time ever, I can say that, and I can walk the walk.
And you will follow through.
Will not go too hard in round one this year due to pregnancy. Whereas every year prior, I have said this, and I always get too excited and go too hard round one.
Yeah, like first period of game one.
I'm like, let's fucking go. Who's your special boy? Jameson shots. Let's go.
And like 8:30 starts, that's we always get ruined by
It's
like there's a lot of time before the game even starts to blow your wad.
Thanks for hanging out, ladies. Have a great rest of your week. See you on another time.
We'll see you on another time.